This is the podcast from JNS Pediatrics. Hello and welcome to the JNS Pediatrics podcast for February 1st, 2013. I'm Natalie Pinchem and I'll be reading a summary of two articles on hydrocephalus published today. Quality measures for the management of hydrocephalus, concepts, simulations, and preliminary field testing. A clinical article by Spencer Barton and colleagues. If you, a reader of the Journal of Neurosurgery, had a child with hydrocephalus, what would you want to know about the practice of your child's neurosurgeon, or about other practices in your region? In what format would you want to see the data presented? Would other parents want to see these data too? Inspired by such questions, the authors of the current paper define two practice-based quality measures for the management of childhood hydrocephalus, the surgical activity rate and the revision quotient. The surgical activity rate is the number of operations for the treatment of hydrocephalus performed in a neurosurgical practice over the course of a year, divided by the number of patients with hydrocephalus seen in follow-up during that year. The revision quotient is the number of revision operations in the course of a year, divided by the number of initial operations during that year for patients with new diagnoses of hydrocephalus. The surgical activity rate and revision quotient can be readily calculated from electronic billing data. Properties of the surgical activity rate and revision quotient are examined by simulations based on published incidence and survival statistics. That there is actual wide variation in the revision quotient among children's medical centers is demonstrated by an analysis of the KIDS inpatient database. Endoscopic cyst fenestration in the treatment of uniloculated hydrocephalus in children. A clinical article by Nasser El Gandor. In this article, the author reports on 31 pediatric patients with uniloculated hydrocephalus, who he treated with endoscopic cyst fenestration. Neuroepithelial cysts were the most common cause of hydrocephalus in this patient group, with 17 cases, followed by postoperative gliosis due to previous shunt infection in 9 cases, intraventricular hemorrhage in 3 cases, and meningitis in 2 cases. Improvement of hydrocephalus was seen in 26 of 31 cases. Among the 22 patients without prior shunts, 3 required repeat endoscopic cyst fenestration, and 3 required new shunt placement. In the 9 cases involving patients with pre-existing shunts, endoscopy reduced the rate of shunt revision from 2.7 revisions per year before fenestration to 0.25 per year after fenestration. 4 of these 9 patients had multiple shunts, and the multiple shunt system could be converted to a single shunt in these cases. However, repeat endoscopic cyst fenestration was necessary in all 9 patients. At a mean follow-up duration of 4.3 years, none of the patients with a prior shunt was able to become shunt independent, whereas 86% of patients without a prior shunt were able to avoid shunt placement. The author concludes that endoscopic cyst fenestration is effective in the treatment of uniloculated hydrocephalus. He recommends it for patients with this condition as a simple, minimally invasive procedure that is associated with low morbidity and mortality rates. Thank you for listening. Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group podcasts are contained in the American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes to access all our podcasts and videos. all updated continuously. You can also follow the Journal of Neurosurgery Publishing Group on Twitter and now also on Facebook. To read articles published this week in any of our journals or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at www.thejns.org.